Welcome to the Empowered Whistleblower Podcast. Are you one of many Americans who are tired of people being bullied and discriminated? You are not alone. Bullying has a rippling effect on the person who is being harassed and everyone associated with the bullied person. The targeted adult or child may have been physically or psychologically bullied. They often bring home their anguish with them, and this can have a crippling effect on everyone associated with the one who's being bullied or discriminated. It's time to shed some light on how to reduce bullying in the school systems, how to create safe and healthy work environments for employees. I blow the whistle on how to protect yourself if you're being bullied and educate listeners on their rights if they're being bullied or discriminated. I bring in the best experts who provide empowering strategies, tips on resiliency, how to handle the experience of being bullied or discriminated, how to heal and overcome the effects of being mistreated. If you are ready to gain knowledge and insights on bullying and discrimination, you are in the right place. Welcome to the Empowered Whistleblower Podcast. Hi, I'm Dawn Westmoreland of the Empowered Whistleblower Podcast. You know, sometimes we make choices. Sometimes the choices are good. Sometimes the choices are misguided. Today's guest, Katie Ann Givens, is a co-author with myself. We were co-authors together with The Strength of My Soul, and that's an anthology book, and the presenter was Sharon Jameson. We're going to talk about that. But Katie Ann has a very important story and a very inspiring story. She's not just a regular person that made a mistake. She's a really outstanding person, and we're going to get into why she's an outstanding person. But unfortunately, because of a choice she made, she spent 15 years in prison. Well, I hope no judgment against that. You know, there's many times that all of us make mistakes and we don't make the right choices, but she's definitely faced discrimination. We'll address that, but I want to bring her on and welcome Katie Ann. How are you doing tonight?
I'm great. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it so much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I want to say, I know you personally and we've met personally, and I was so inspired by you because so many people would not want to be open and transparent and talk about their experience for fear that people would judge them or discriminate against them, but you've been very transparent from the beginning.
Yes, I find it's very hard, but I found it to be upfront at first, especially about my situation. It's very important for me to let people know what they're dealing with so that they get, you know, they make their own decisions whether or not they want to be, you know, associated with me, or, you know, make their own decisions with regards to being associated with me or even being a friend.
Mm-hmm. That's important. Yeah. And who you hang out with does matter. So we were both approached by a wonderful person, a really good mentor, a wonderful, powerful woman, Sharon Jameson. And, she found both of us. It's, I don't believe in coincidences. She had been watching my work on Facebook, and you told me that both of you came together. How did you two meet?
I met her through an ex of mine, and she actually was a minister in our church. And so, you know, we hit it off right away. And, you know, at first it was really alarming because this lady was just out of the blue, just so friendly. Mm-hmm. And being new to Georgia, I wasn't used to that. You know, being from Florida, it's like almost unheard of where somebody's just outwardly open, just instantly, you know, taking to you. You know, you kind of put that guard up like, whoa, slow down, you know, what do you want? You know, and so it was kind of weird that she took to me, and then, you know, of course circumstances happened, and she actually reached out to me and was like, hey, you know, I'm here for you. I'm here. I don't care what anybody else has to say. I'm here. You know, so if you ever need to vent or even speak out about anything, you know, don't be afraid. And, you know, that touched me. That instantly touched me because I was like, wow, you know, she's genuine. There was no motive. There was nothing negative. It was just, she was there. And I appreciated her for that. And, you know, she's been a great friend actually, ever since.
So. Yeah, she has been, and I've had her on my show before, and I know her chapter in the book. We did an anthology book. I think there was, 26, yes. 27 of us women, and we all talked about overcoming.
Authors.
Yeah.
Yes, 27 authors, and I am proud to be the actual 27th.
I know. I love the 27th. Well, because I was born on the 27th. But let's talk about chapter in the book, because, you know, obviously, Sharon, when she met you, she would not have brought you on if she had not seen the light in you and just saw your potential. I mean, tell us a little bit about your chapter in the book. And the book, again, is called The Strength of My Soul.
Right. Okay. So my chapter is it's called My Unfinished Chapter, My Unfinished Life. Oh, My Unfinished Chapter. I'm sorry. It was dealing with, because at the time when I was going through it, I didn't realize what was happening to me. And so as I started writing the book, I was like, oh yeah, this has happened as well. Let me go ahead and put the part of my mental breakdown, you know, because Sharon was like, no, I don't want the pretty stuff. I don't want you to tell me how you got up and you made friends. I want you to tell me what happened when you were in confinement. What happened to your spirit? How did you feel? Were you angry? And so, you know, and I was like, well, it's taking me to a dark place. But then I realized that the dark place is where I actually found myself. You know, I broke myself. When I say I broke myself, I put myself in a situation where when I was in confinement, I went to confinement so many times, they actually started housing me by myself, you know, and that to me was a good thing. At first, it wasn't, because, you know, the stigma is, oh, you're so bad, you can't be housed with anybody else. But it was a good thing for me because it gave me time to think and to realize what was going on in my world. What was it that needed to happen in order for me to be better? You know, and so I wrote about the dark times, how I felt at that time, what I did as far as coping and, you know, overcoming the stigma where I was, you know, my diagnosis was paranoid schizophrenia and depression, you know, manic depression. And I realized that at that point what I wrote about was, you know, dealing with that, being incarcerated. You know, and I didn't claim myself to be quote unquote crazy, but it was just what I did for me to be a better person. I didn't want to come out of confinement being the same person that went in. And I used that as a basis for, I didn't want to get out of prison the same way I came into prison. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I started reading a lot of books, being in confinement again. I started reading a lot of books, and I wrote about that. I wrote about reading books and getting knowledge, so to speak, on what to do to be a better person. I read a lot of books. Mm-hmm. So I wrote, my chapter was actually about, you know, how I had broken myself, but also how I put myself back together in a way that made sense for me at that time.
Well, I know that must have been a really challenging time for yourself. And I think that's so encouraging, you know, the reading, because I'm also a reader too, and always like, you know, becoming the best version of myself. Now, you had discussed with me prior, you were talking about a letter that you had with your mother. Do you feel comfortable in sharing that with our listeners?
Okay. No, I definitely can. This is about the time that I said I didn't want to be 25 in prison, incarcerated, because I just at the time it was just so mind blowing that here I am, I'm 25 now, and the people that I knew that were free, they were all, you know, out marrying, having babies, and everything, and I didn't want that. I didn't have that. I wanted that. I didn't have that. And, you know, it was just so disheartening. And I did try to commit suicide. And one of the things that happened to me after I, excuse me, I'm so sorry, after I attempted to take my own life was that, you know, when I woke up in the hospital, I was actually angry. Mm-hmm. You know, I was really angry because I'm living. why am I still alive? You know, I started to like not question, but I was angry. Like, I can't even kill myself for it. You know, it was, this is beyond. I can't even kill myself. And so, again, I went back to confinement once again. This is like, I don't know, at this point, maybe like my fourth or fifth time being in confinement. But and I wrote my mom and I told her how, you know, I explained to her everything, how I didn't want to be in prison. I didn't want to. I can't see the end. I couldn't see it. I don't want to be here anymore. You know, I want to take my own life. And my mom wrote me back a letter, and she said to me in the letter, and I will never forget, she said, you're not the only one doing your time. The only difference between you and I is that I have to get up and put a smile on my face every day. And that kind of shocked me in a way to where it put me in a place where it wasn't just me. Mm-hmm. Like, had I gone through with this, you know, my mom wouldn't be able to write me a letter like this. You know, she'll probably be devastated or worse, you know. And it kind of put me back in reality, so to speak, you know, put me back on my butt to say, hey, you know, I was being selfish. And, you know, I didn't want that. I didn't want to put that added pressure on her. I never want to put any pressure on my mom. You know, we all love our moms. You know, but it kind of shocked me into, like, coming back in reality. And I will never take that for granted. You know, never take all her sacrifices from me for granted. So, that was what happened. That was also a catalyst for, you know, me changing my thought process, my way of thinking.
Yeah, that makes sense. Would it be fair to say that your mom is a very strong and powerful woman?
Yes. Yes, she is. Yes. Yes, I definitely would definitely say that.
Well, I'm so glad she could be strong for you. So you were there in prison 15 years. And then eventually you were allowed to get out. I remember us having this conversation about mm-hmm. the transition, getting out, that you felt that the prison system, what they offered was antiquated, that transition back into the civilian world.
Oh, yes.
And yeah, go ahead. Yes. Tell the listeners about it. I know the story probably pretty well.
Okay, so there's a program, and this is in Florida. I don't know if it's in every other state, but this is in Florida, and it's called the transition program, where it's supposed to teach you how to, when you get out, how to get a job, where to go for housing, what to do if you ever get in a situation where you're probably around law enforcement, you know, and just basically how to conduct yourself. What they don't tell you is the housing, you know, the housing situation might not work. So you're applying to these places while you're in prison. They're not gonna automatically say, oh yeah, because you're coming out of prison, you can come here. No, they don't say that. They mm-hmm. deny you while you're in prison, while you're incarcerated. They don't tell you, you know, how to get a job on the computer, because the system, when you get out, you're basically, if you're not at least somewhat computer savvy before you go in, you're going to be the same getting out. It's not going to be anything different, you know, so it's kind of hard on someone who doesn't really know or who's not up on the technology as far as, you know, what to do as getting a job, how to conduct yourself in interviews, what to say, what not to say to get, you know, to get the job, and so it was kind of, you know, and a lot of women especially don't have the support of family members or even friends to say, well, I can do this for you while you're there. And so, you know, to me, recidivism, that's the bank. That's the bank. That's what the Department of Correction is banking on. You know, they're banking on not helping you. They're not going to help you to get out. They're not going to help you when you get out. They're helping you while you're coming back. You know, it's just a vicious cycle. And so it was really the whole system is just antiquated. Mm-hmm. You know, and again, this is in Florida. I'm not talking about any other state or federal, because this is a state prison. You know, they don't give you the necessary. The programs are there, but they don't give you the necessary skills, you know, because we're all going to need to use a computer when you get out. Because I found that out in the worst way, you know, when I got locked up. Like I said, right? Because when I got locked up, it was always I go to the brick and mortar stores, and you know, I hand them my resume. I ask for a resume, an application. I fill it out. I hand them my resume and the application. You know, they'll probably give me a call back. Yes or no, or whatever. Here, you go even to the fast food, you go to McDonald's or even Checkers, they say, they'll tell you, oh, fill out the application online. Now, what if I'm not computer savvy? How would I do that? You know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a strike against me automatically, because I don't even know how to fill out the application online. If I don't have a computer, I'll have to go to the library. And you know, it's just like I said, the system is just antiquated at best. That's the best I could say it.
Well, that makes sense. You know, if you don't know how to use a computer, I mean, that puts you a lot of people who are trying to get hired in a really tough place. You know, so right. Who did help you? Who helped you use the computer and help you fill out these resumes?
My mom.
Oh,
which is funny.
Mom.
Which is funny because she'll tell you, you know, oh, I'm not computer savvy. And she really is, but she's from the era where if you have a typewriter, and she's all on it, you know, she does these little squiggly things, and she says, oh, that's shorthand, you know. So she's from that era. As far as getting on the computer. You know, she'll say, well, as long as you have the address, you can get that done. You know, of course, I knew how to type before. So that was one. And then, of course, I had, like, family members, and I had a few friends who helped me out here and there. So now I know more than what I did, you know. Well, now it's been 5 years, so more than I did 20 years ago, mm-hmm. You know. So, yeah, that was that. There's that, so I did that, and I did get a few job interviews, and job disappointments on the way.
Sure, that happens. Yeah. Now, without saying names or company names, I know you told me that you were very transparent and you told everybody, you know, about your past incarceration. Mm-hmm. I believe you got hired, and later an HR person convinced the owner of the company to let you go. Is that correct?
I got hired and fired all within 3 weeks.
Mm. Yeah.
Right. Well, I did the application, and I remember on the website it says, have you been convicted of a crime within the last 7 to 10 years? And I genuinely put no, because I haven't committed a crime within the last 7 to 10 years. I was locked up. and at my interview, right.
I get it.
At my interview, you know, I said, you know, he asked me again, have you ever been arrested? And I was like, I have. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, at that time, this is 13 years ago. And so, but it happened in another state. It wasn't anything that had to do with fraud or identity theft or anything like that. It was in a whole other state, a whole other felony charge. But I'm trying to be on a different path. And he said, okay, I appreciate your honesty. When can you start? And I said that following Monday. He said, great, we have our training starting then, and you can come on. I did my 2 weeks training. My first day out on the floor, I got called to the VP of Human Resources, and she asked me about it. And I explained to her what I did, why I said that, and I explained to her what I said. And she turned to the guy who interviewed me. She said to him, and you thought that was appropriate. And so he said, well, I didn't see a problem with it because it happened so long. It happened so long ago. And she said, but we don't hire people like that.
Okay.
And at that point, I was like, well, I'm still in the room, number one. And number two, thank you. And thank you for your time. I appreciate it. You know, I'll be back later on to pick up my check. Like, it was just so amazing to me that she would actually say that, you know, in front of me. Like, what do you mean? Did he think it was appropriate to hire somebody like me? You know, but in doing so, it kind of made me realize that people don't always see you, the person. You know, they see what they see on paper or Google, the internet. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had someone before they even really knew me. Tell me, oh yeah, I've Googled you before. You know, so it kind of like again put me in the place where I would rather get to know. I would rather you get to know me, the person, before you see me on the internet, because everything is like it's information age now, you know. Let me tell you what I did, and so you don't get it, you know, screwed up or misconstrued in your head about the type of person I am before you genuinely know me.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I'm going to jump in and talk a little bit about human resources. So the thing with human resources, I want to direct our listeners to a website, and this is on the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission website. So the website is www.eeoc.gov/laws/guidance/arrest_conviction.cfm. You can also Google consideration of arrest and conviction records and employment decisions under Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. I won't go all into it because it's, you know, pretty cut and dry, as I was saying before to you before we started the interview, but it talks about what employers must consider when, you know, reviewing your past criminal history records, you know, the use of criminal history information, and also talks about the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission's interest in employers' use of criminal records in employment screening. So sometimes, you know, they have to be very careful because it could violate the fact that, you know, you're a person of color, or it could violate the different protected classes and such. So there's a lot to it, and there's so much involved in it, you know, like, you know, is the criminal conduct exclusion to job related and consistent with business necessity? How long has the time passed since the offense, the nature of the job that's held or sought? You know, I worked in the federal government 25 years, worked in HR all that time. And I knew there were people in the federal government that had, you know, convictions of the past, but they met the requirements to come on and they met the clarity clearances. So again, you know, if somebody is wanting to know for a family member, a friend, or for themselves, just go to the EEOC, I'll say it again, The title is Consideration of Arrest and Conviction Records in Employment Decisions under Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. It's very important because if somebody gets discriminated under the guidelines, the protocols of the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, they can be held liable or for litigation. But at the time, Katie, and you may not have been aware of that. You know, you're fresh, you know, out of incarceration, and I'm sure you just wanted to work and, you know, and continue to be the best version of yourself. Now, you were telling me earlier, and it just really touched me so much, that you were helping a lady today, and she was telling you, you must write a book. You must write a book about your experience. Let's talk about that, because that's so important. People need hope, and we need inspiration.
She asked me, you know, about being incarcerated and, you know, what have happened since then, and I was telling her, explaining to her that, you know, certain things I don't do anymore, or certain things that I try to emulate as far as, you know, being in society, because I'm not, you know, 5 years later, I'm still kind of finding my way. I still get lost in Atlanta, so it's crazy. But
I get lost there too. When I go down there,
traffic is ridiculous. But no, I was talking to her, and she just stopped me and she said, you know, you should write a book about your experience, because while you were talking, my niece and my nephew have actually been in prison. My nephew has gotten out. My niece will be getting out in January. And I need her to know, you know, that even after being incarcerated, there's still hope that she can get out and she can accomplish, you know, half the things that you're telling me that you've done. And I said to her, well, I'm sorry, what do you mean? She said, you know, her niece had gotten an insurance license, and now because of her incarceration, you know, she lost it, you know, but her niece is a little bit depressed and worried about her kids and worried about the family and the friends that she had before she got incarcerated. And now, you know, she's just like all very despair, you know, she's in despair about what's going to happen and, you know, how is she going to be able to get her life back. And I was like, well, you know, I don't know about writing a book. And she said, oh, but you must. You should write a book, because this is actually helping not only me, but it would help her. And I know it would help her, you know, just listening to you, to your story. And I'm like, funny you should say that. I started a book a couple of years ago, and I just stopped because once again, my saboteur, it was just more like saying, hey, why are you writing? What are you writing about that nobody else has ever done before? You know, you're writing about everyday normal things. People live through this every day. What makes you think that what you're doing is any different? You know, and so it kind of got me down a little bit. It's on pause, but, you know, speaking with you prior to this, it kind of like jump started something in me. So
awesome.
It did. You know, when I spoke to you about it, I was saying, dang, maybe I shouldn't have stopped, you know, maybe I should. And so I actually found that file again and just jotted down a few little things. So I was working on that yesterday as well. So we'll see. how long it's going to be, but we'll see. I'm working on it.
There's no, it's not a race. It's when it's meant to be. And, you know, I'll share with the audience, you know, I went through writing a book too around solutions to bullying discrimination. And then I got unmotivated and I thought, what's going on with this? And it really took somebody else, a very good friend of mine, a mentor, to say, maybe there's something going on. You know, trust your gut, your intuition. Just put it down and just meditate, pray on it. And I'm like, okay, well, what's going on? Why am I unmotivated? But then I realized I had more to learn from my interviews, you know, the people I meet, my clients. And I just came back from Charlotte, North Carolina, and I had been to a creative writing course. So I learned to improve the book. So I don't doubt for a second, Katie Ann, that there's a reason why you're stopping, but it doesn't mean that you're not motivated. And I know one thing about you is nobody will have the same energy, story, or insights as you have, because I know a lot of people who've gotten out of jail and prison, and they're bitter. And when you told your story, when we all came together in the Atlanta area about what was in January a couple of years ago, and each of us got to talk about our chapter, Sharon Jameson brought us all together, and most of the co-authors showed up that could. And I remember you telling your story, and it just touched me. And I know I felt a tear going down my eye, because I thought, wow, this young lady could be so bitter at the world. She could be so hateful. You know, she's choosing to be strong and claim her story instead of her story owning her. And so I know a lot of times I use the word empowerment, but we had a funny discussion about empowerment.
Yes.
Here to elaborate on about empowerment, what that means to you. And I thought it was great.
Okay, right. So, you know, like I told you, I don't like the word empowerment, because to me it sounds like a superhero. You know, when the superhero is all down and he thinks of something that really inspired him, and all of a sudden he gets all the superhuman strength to defeat the villain, and he's like, ta ta ta, on top of the world. And it's like, I'm not that. I'm not that superhero, you know. I'm not Spider-Man. I'm not that type of person. I don't even want to use the word empowerment, because I was so broken. I literally was so broken to where, you know, I didn't function, and I couldn't function. I just got lost. And so when people say, you know, you're empowering, or you can be so-and-so's role model, it's kind of like, are you guys talking about me? I'm just a regular woman. Just, I made so many mistakes. There's no way that nobody can actually look up to me. You know, I'm not on a higher plane. I'm struggling just like you. And so the empowerment thing to me is just, like I said, like a superhero who just kind of got down for a little bit. And now he's using, you know, he finds inspiration in something. He thinks about something or someone, and, you know, he gets inspired to do better, to be better. And he gets all his superhuman strength, and he's coming back, and he's going to win. I don't feel like that. You know, I'm more of, okay, I got shot down. Well, now what? You know, now I'm lost. There's nothing funny. There's no funny anecdote. There's no inspirational quote that I can think of. I guess I'll just, you know, pick myself up, dust myself off, and we'll try another avenue, you know? And, you know, I never looked at it as inspiring other people. It was more like, I got to make sure that I can, you know, make it the next day. And not giving to the whole woe is me, you know, damsel in distress, you know, thing that it's just, you know, I try not to give into that, you know. So it because I, you know, I still go through everyday struggles like everybody else, you know. I'm not going to say that I don't want to be a role model. But I think my idea for role model would be somebody who has it all together. And I'm far from that. I'm extremely far from that. So, yeah, it's just that's one of the reasons why I don't really like the word empowerment. Because for me to empower, I would actually have to give have some form of strength, so to speak. And I don't have any,
Well, I have to respectfully disagree with you about having it all together. I understand where you're going with it. The thing is, a lot of mentors or life coaches, spiritual leaders, spiritual or religious leaders, whatever, they just have to be ahead of the person. And I don't mean that they're better, but just they have their act together a little bit more so they can help that other person to move along on their journey. So I still see you as being a mentor and an inspiration. I really do, because I can honestly tell you that even as a life coach myself, that I have days where I struggle, that I feel depressed when I should feel happy. And we, it's a very serious talk about mental health. And I work around a lot of mental health professionals, and I will tell you, one in four people, that's 25%, have mental health issues. Not all of them are very serious and such, but hey, so 25%, that affects a lot of people. And honestly, we're just sincerely, we're all connected. We all feel pain. We all make mistakes. Some people get caught, some people don't get caught. But in wrapping up, Katie Ann, I know that you do advocacy. I know that you care about helping other people to stay out of jail, stay out of prison. Any guidance that you want to give, whether it's staying out of, what to do when they get out? I know you have a lot of great advice.
Oh, thank you. It's oftentimes getting out of prison, you're not gonna, well, some people have that support. I'm not gonna take that away from them. And that's super, 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 super important. And that's so great. Oftentimes, though, we don't always have that support system that we thought we had being locked up, being in prison. We don't often have the same people who say, yeah, I'm going to be there for you. We really don't have them. Like, where are you now? I need to do better. And so oftentimes you feel like you're alone, and you're really not. And I say you're not alone because the thing is, you have to look at yourself, look at the situation, be better, do better. You want different, be different. Oftentimes it is kind of Oftentimes, the person that you have to look to is yourself. Even if you have kids or if you have a spouse, they can't understand where you've been, what you're just experiencing. So, oftentimes it's going to feel like you let them down, but no, you have to look at yourself and do things that you wouldn't normally do. As far as getting out and realizing that not everything is going to be as easy as they painted your picture to you while you were incarcerated, so don't give up hope. Don't be hopeless. Just know that the person that you can depend on would be yourself, and to use that. And a lot of times it doesn't come across that way, but just do it. You want different, be different.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I was just saying, on social media recently, things just pop in my head. I don't know if they do that with you too, but I just heard, if you want to be happy, hang around happy people. If you want to be around positive people, hang around positive people. Well, it's been such a joy talking to you, and I'm so proud of you. And
Oh,
I
thank
have to
you.
give a shout out to your mother's. She's played a very important role in this, and a big shout out to your mother. But there's something very significant that happened this week for you. You want to
It
share?
did. I did. I graduated magna cum laude from college. That's 2 years, and I'm actually going to start a new university this fall as well. So I'm still on that high that I finally completed my college course. I got my associate's degree in business management and office technology. So I'm kind of happy about that. I'm still on cloud nine about that.
Yes. Well, I know you probably never get tired of saying people are very impressed and proud of you. And I'll say it again a million times. I'm so impressed. I'm so proud of you. I know as a young person, you made a choice that, you know, that puts you in incarceration for a long time. I'm so happy that you're out there, part of society, doing advocacy, helping people, you know, sharing your story.
Thank you.
Because when you're raw, real, and transparent, it allows other people to be raw, real, and transparent. And just by somebody coming back and listening to this podcast, they're going to learn from your story, your experience, your advice. Also, they will understand if they go to the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission website, what their rights are about, you know, getting hired and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I'm going to repeat that one more time because it's so important, because if an employer's use of an individual's criminal history and making employment decisions may in some instances violate the prohibition against employment discrimination under Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. So if you're an employer, be careful and go to the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission enforcement guidance, consideration of arrest and conviction records in employment decisions under Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. You don't want to get in trouble if you're an employer for violating the EEOC's protocols and laws. And if you're somebody who has, had a prior felony, you want to also know what your rights are. So any last words from you, Katie Ann? Any last burning words on your tongue that you want to share with the audience?
Just never know who's actually looking up to you. So don't ever doubt yourself or put doubt in your mind about doing anything. Of course, like I said, when I got out, I was afraid to, to let people know who I was. And even in my book, I used my middle names. I didn't even use my real name, and I didn't even put my picture on the book because I was afraid of the judgment of what people would say or how they would react, or, seeing me on the cover of a bestseller, like, that's not even real. Just be authentic, be your authentic self, and just know that no matter what you do, good, bad, or indifferent, you're always going to have you at the end of the day. So just as far as guidance goes, just look to yourself and just know that whatever you're doing, again, good, bad, or indifferent, you're doing it from a genuine place, and you're doing it from a place where you want a self-betterment. You want better. You want different, so you're going to do different. You're going to be different, and don't let anybody ever take that from you,
Yeah, that's powerful words. Very powerful. So
thank you.
Yeah. So gosh, I wish we could keep talking on and on and on. It's always such a pleasure to talk with you. And I'm so inspired by all your personal growth and, just being part of that book and still staying in each other's lives. So if anybody is inspired by you, wants to connect with you, what's the best way for someone to reach out to you? What are your contact or social media that you're willing to provide?
Okay, sure. My email is nijolebeth@yahoo.com. That's nijolebeth@yahoo.com. My Instagram is nijolebone. That's it's nijol.beth.author. It's nijole.beth.author. AUTHOR. And that's at Instagram. And my Twitter is actually at Nijole Beth, at NIJOLEBETH. It's just one word.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for being on this chat and this interview. I know I learned something from you every time I talk to you. To our listeners, stay tuned, stay empowered, and have a great day. We'll be right back. Thank you for listening to The Empowered Whistleblower. As your host, I will continue to bring in the best experts to share their knowledge and empower our listeners. Nobody has to feel like a victim. There are solutions to bullying and discrimination. Everyone deserves to be treated with respect and dignity. All our future shows will offer practical guidance so that anyone can choose to stand up to bullying and discrimination. You deserve to be happy, and life is all about choices. I always welcome comments and suggestions for new shows. Please comment and share your ideas, and be sure to come back for more inspiration and empowerment. I am Dawn Marie Westmoreland signing off and wishing you much happiness and empowerment in your day.